Good morning, everybody. As I'm doing this, just keep me in your prayers. I'm a little bit frazzled just because of timelines and stuff. So, you know, Lord, give me wisdom. I know most everybody in here, but in case you don't know me, I'm Laura Kronk, and I live here in Ketchikan. And hi, Bon. And my verse today is from 2 Corinthians 3:4-6. The take I'm having on this verse is a little bit different than Nancy talked about, although let me tell you, you know, Christ is my sufficiency. I have health issues that we won't get into it, but slow me down, try to impair me. Last night and this morning I woke up not feeling very good, threw myself on God's mercy, text my husband, "Thank you, Jesus, I'm feeling much better." So, he is sufficient. But let's just pray, I mean seriously pray, and then we'll get going. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time. I thank you for these people. I thank you for this ministry. And Father, I just ask that you would just use me as a conduit, that you would just flow through me with your words, your thoughts, your love, the things you want for these people, this group, these individuals. Father, let me be your servant. Give me the words and help me to focus and to just be your servant. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so the handout that I passed out has different translations of our verse. I'm not going to read all of them, but 2 Corinthians 2 and 3 are really good chapters to read, just from the standpoint that there's just a lot of good stuff in there. The take I'm going on this is, in this verse, sufficiency actually means authority. So I'm going to read the Amplified version because, other than that it's wordy, as Amplified is, and drawn out, it has one of the best understandings for me and how the take I'm taking on it today. Such is the steadfast confidence and steadfast reliance and absolute truth that we have through Christ towards God. Not that we are sufficiently qualified in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency and qualifications come from God. He has qualified us, making us sufficient, as ministers of the new covenant of salvation through Christ, not through the letter, the written code, but of the Spirit. For the letter of the law kills by revealing sin and demanding obedience, but the Spirit gives life. So one of the things I'm going to talk about, Lord help me focus, is how do you do that? How do you incorporate that in your life? I want to ask you some questions. Do you know what God has called you to do? Do you have a ministry? Are you active in a ministry? Some people are. Evelyn's nodding her head. I know. What does your heart long to do? What are your gifts and your talents, your skills and abilities? What kinds of things are you good at? Has God spoken to you, maybe years ago, about something that he has for you to do, and you've either discounted it or think that it's never going to happen or you've lost faith that it ever will happen? What is that one thing that you've always dreamed about doing? That one thing. We all have one. We all do. And some of us have ignored them for a long time, that we've kind of forgotten what they are. And some of us, it's in front of us every single day, right? Is it a big thing? A huge thing? Bigger than you dare to hope? Or is it a quiet little steady thing that just rests in your heart? Something to further the kingdom, whether it's leading others to the Lord, which Nancy's going to be talking a lot about evangelism, and I'm sorry that I have to leave, but so think about that in context of what I'm saying today. Or is it nurturing baby believers into a mature walk with the Lord? Is it something that abides, that aids and facilitates to those who are called to be up front, or you're a behind-the-scenes person like Debbie Grimes, right, who's there to undergird and make sure that all of the pieces fall together. And I already said about Nancy. Okay. Sorry, I'm a bit discombobulated. Hi, Carmel. I think most of us believe, because everybody in here, like I said, I know, and we're all believers, believe that God wants to use us, you know, and want God to use us, right? So how's that going to look? If you believe that, then are you doing something for the Lord? Are you listening to him? Are you hearing his voice? Are you doing your dream? Maybe fear's held you back. Maybe you think that you have a lot of excuses. You know, oh, I'll do it when I have more time. I'll do it when my kids are grown. I'll do it when I'm healed. You know, there's a better time. I'll do it when, fill in the blank, right? And you keep putting it off. But if you really believe that God's got something for you to do, then why aren't you doing it now? And yet, granted, sometimes we need to mature into things. Nancy didn't start overnight, you know, traveling the world. We've all heard her story. I'm thinking most of us in here. Are you hanging out in the hall?
Going to be down that room down there, and when it gets around the time where I can pray for the activation, okay, just come and get me, and we'll just get
at the end of the hall.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. Thank
not
you.
Not to interrupt.
No, thank you. Thank you.
Otherwise, I have to fly you.
I love that woman. Where was I? Oh, she didn't start, you know, traveling the world. She started as Nancy Nazarene, right? And she was going to work with kids. And all of that was preparation. And even in Point to Hope ministry, I mean, I don't even think she had no idea where it was going to go. But she was faithful to take a step, right? And like I said, we all have excuses. We're not smart enough. We're not tall enough. We're not humble enough. We're not confident enough. We're not something enough. Stop it. Stop with the excuses. God wants to use you. And avoidance and whatever you, that's one of the frustrations. And it's amazing when you start walking in those things, even baby steps, how much your walk with the Lord, your closeness to him will grow. So there's a side benefit. Not only are you ministering out, but you will grow within you in your spirit. So if you're kind of frustrated with your spiritual walk and you feel like you need to be closer to the Lord and you're not quite sure how that's going to happen, start asking him about what he wants you to do. Okay, and you know how I know that God wants to use you? The Bible says so. There's some verses on your handout. 2 Ephesians 10. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." He's prepared beforehand for stuff that we have to do, right? How about in the Beatitudes? Matthew 5:16. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Okay? That they know that you're a Christian and you're serving the Lord. 1 Corinthians 12:17, where it talks about one of the things that, with not feeling good this morning, I didn't sleep well, and so I feel like my brain's really foggy. So Lord, give me clarity of thinking and give me focus, please, and give me peace. All right, glad you guys love me. So if you're still not sure that what your thing is, if you don't know what that is and you're not quite sure, Lord, I want to do something, but I'm not sure where that fits in my life, if you haven't had a word spoken over you, if you haven't really had that confirmation, there's some verses in the Bible, and I'm just going to give you the overview of them. You can look them up later. There's a lot of detail in there. 1 Corinthians 12:7-11, where it talks about the manifestations of the Spirit, which are wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, distinguishing of spirits, speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues. Or Corinthians 12 through 28, and that's on your paper twice, sorry about that. Apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, helping, healing, guidance, and tongues. Romans 12, 4 through 8, concerning gifts, prophecy, ministry or service, teaching, exhortation or encouragement, giving, leadership, and mercy. Guidance and gift, okay. And 4:11 is the list of the fivefold ministry. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Nancy's an apostle. She's also an evangelist. She's also a teacher. She's, you know, we can all work in all things. But when she started out, you can bet there was no way if somebody told her she was going to be an apostle, she probably would have run screaming from the room, going, I don't think so. One of the wonderful things about Nancy is she always says yes to the Lord. And that's a key thing to follow. One of those things on that list, if it resonates with you, or if you're wondering about it, or you're thinking, nothing really works for me. Okay, what about helps? What about helping? Right? Helping is one of those things, all churches need help, right? And usually it's a behind-the-scenes thing. Usually it's not up front. It's one of those supporting, undergirding, whatever. I mean, come on, helps. How hard is that? And least you think I'm dissing on helps, it's one of my gifts, okay? I love supporting. I love coming alongside. I love being the person that gives those people that are called to be up front the ability to do what they do with less worry, with less stress, right? Inside of me just blooms. And that's one of those things, when you start walking in your gifting or your calling, there's a part of you that just blooms inside of you. And just, it's like a flower, you know? And I watched Nancy's flower over the years just really bloom, right? Okay, if nothing of those, and you're going, okay, I really don't, you know, please don't make me be an apostle or a prophet or a pastor or a teacher, right? Especially what?
Not a missionary.
Yeah, you know, and there's those things. I have no call to be a missionary, but I have a heart for missionaries. And I was telling Ann Stan with me, and up above our water dispenser, we have this little square on the refrigerator, and all of the people that are up there are people that we support or that we have promised to pray for. Nancy's up there. Nancy, and there's a picture of Nancy and Sarah out of the little book, if you don't have a picture. And other ministries that we support. And so it's one of those things that a reminder to pray. So yeah, I understand very bad. But what are your, gifts and talents? What are your skills and abilities? Or what's your love? Do you love music? Right? Do you love to sing? Play an instrument? Do you like to write music or rap songs? Ben likes rap songs, you know? Are you like Evelyn, that's just her core and who she is? What about writing? Do you like to write? Does writing help you flow? Does writing help things, you know, come together? Do you like to write poetry or stories? Or teaching? Where's Karen? Is she in here? I thought I saw her. Anyway, Karen, who is staying across from us, she was talking the other day about, oh, you're right in front. Hi, Karen. It's like, I'm right here. Well, and I, Karen, we were talking at lunch the other day, breakfast the other day. She's staying at Nancy's house, or Vicky's house across the way from us. And she was talking about how she's an analytical person. And she likes to, she's in the back. She's looking up the scriptures. She wears the cross references and how does that? And I want to know what the country was like there and all of that, right? And that can be used in the gift of teaching. Because you have that mind to take all of these wonderful facts and just explain to people, you know, this is the context. This is what the country was like. This is what was going on at the time. Those kind of people are important. I like sitting under those. How about the gift of administration? Are you somebody who likes to organize things? You see, you know, how the things need to go, how they need to come together. My husband has the gift of administration. That man can see the big picture and how all of the pieces need to come together to make it happen. I always say, his calling in life is to turn chaos into order, and that's why he married me. And it's wonderful because God puts opposites together. And I have learned, and he can nod his head, I'm sure, to be more organized, to be more systematic, to not just be scattered and crazy and like I'm acting today. And, you know, because of him, you know. But he also, with people with that gift of administration, also need the people to do those individual pieces, right? Or what about just what are you good at? Are you good with your hands? Jesse's a mechanic. You can be a mechanic for God, Jess. What about Kenda? I had my hair cut the other day, and I was telling her a little bit about my talk, and I said, and you can be a hairdresser for Jesus, and she said, absolutely. You know, how many people have you talked to, encouraged, and witnessed to in your chair, Kenda, over the years? Hundreds, probably. You know? So wherever you're at, you don't have to be in a church to do your calling or to do a ministry. It can be, Les does it all the time at his office. Everybody knows who he is and where he stands and what's he believe. And when there's problems in their personal life, problems, whatever, he's the first person they come to, you know? One of the examples of people just God using people and people with skills and abilities. When we were in Anchorage, Les and I went up to the conference in Anchorage and did our workshops up there. And I was talking to Lisa in the back, who runs sound. And if you know Lisa, she is wonder extraordinaire with stuff. But she was stumped because there was a problem with the sound system. It wasn't working. And she was about to send out an SOS. And Gene and Jesse, Jesse's dad, and they walked in. And she was like, I'm so frustrated. And they go, oh, we know how to fix this. We had this same system in our church, and we just, here, let's, and they fixed it. And not only was it a blessing to Point to Hope, but it was a blessing to the church because they couldn't figure out the problem either. So Point to Hope got to bless them through Gene and Jesse, who just had skills and abilities that they put to work, right? They were ministering in that. Okay, so you're still thinking, oh, but Laura, you have no idea what my life was like before I was saved. I still smoke cigarettes. Laura, I don't have an education. Oh, baloney. It's like, have you looked at the people that surrounded Jesus? I mean, come on, the 12? There was a tax collector. And at that time of day, I mean, we kind of don't like tax collectors even now, but in that day and age, a Jewish tax collector was a sellout. They were a para to the Jewish society. They were traitors, right? A tax collector, okay? What about fishermen? We in Alaska love our fishermen and our fisher people, right? But fishermen kind of have a stereotype, right? You know, they're a little rough around the edges. They're hard workers. They're, you know, have stamina to beat the band. They kind of might have a reputation of being uneducated. And in that day and age, they definitely were, right? So what about, yeah, fishermen, okay? What about a doctor? And even then, doctors were revered. They were, you know, they were honored. So you've got fishermen, you've got a tax collector, and you've got a doctor who's educated for the times to do what he needs to do, right? And then later on, what about Paul? Paul was a religious zealot. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. My goodness sakes, talk about a convert, right? And ladies, just so that you don't be thinking, oh, the 12 apostles were all men, and I don't really think that. It's like, come on. You know, we have women CPAs. We have women doctors. We have women fisher folk. Yeah, right? And we have women zealots, religious zealots. And I don't mean zealot in, God took Paul's zeal and his focus on doing what he thought was right and took that energy and took that focus and through the Spirit, man, right? So whatever it is, he can take that and use that. Then the other thing, women. Do some research if you're hung up on the whole women thing. Of women in the Bible. Look at Deborah. Look at Ruth. Look at Rahab. Rahab was a harlot, which is an old-fashioned word for prostitute. And did you know that she is in the lineage of David, which means she is in Jesus' lineage? So if God can use a harlot, and she is a great ancestress of Jesus, you don't have any excuses left. I'm sorry. Now that we've established that God wants to use you, that he commands you to use your gifts and talents, skills and abilities, okay, going back to what has he called you to do? On the back of your paper that I handed out, I want you to, did you get a paper, Shannon? I want you to write things down, Shannon, get a paper, but pencil. Les can loan you one, or there's one in my purse if you don't have one. I'm taking a new medication that's making my mouth really dry, so I got some peppermint beadlets that should help me. On the top of the paper, I want you to write down what you think God has called you to do. You may already know. Evelyn's got the gift of music, but there might be something else, Evelyn, that he's poking at you about. Okay? So you can write more than one thing. So write at least one thing, maybe two, and put down what you think that he's called you to do. What is it that's on your heart? You don't have to show anybody. In fact, if you need to turn aside so even your neighbor doesn't see because you're not quite sure, that's okay. All right? And if you don't know what it is, Lord, just give us wisdom and clarity. Just let us know. Just download into our brains what you have for us and help us to hear it and believe it. Nancy's been talking a lot about unbelief, right? Don't unbelief. And I heard a saying one time that's like, God doesn't mind honest doubt because you need faith to overcome doubt. And he can give you faith to get past that. But unbelief says, no way, never. And he can't do a whole lot about that. So if you're feeling like you got some unbelief going on and you can't quite believe it for you, Lord, work on it. Okay, now look at your paper. Think about our verse that says, your authority to do this isn't in you and your ability. It's from God. He's given you that love of music. He's given you that administrative ability that Les was born with. We've been together since we were 15. Trust me, the man always had it, right? And he's given you those things. He's given you that love and desire. And a lot of times we think, oh, I would really like to do this, but I have to focus and do something serious for the Lord. Oh, baloney, figure out a way to do what you love for the Lord, my goodness sakes. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Be joyful in what you're doing, so do something that makes you joyful, right? Okay, so, hold on, I got ahead of myself. I love scroll screens. I love words. You can ask my kids. When they were growing up, and they wanted a definition of a word, or they wanted to know how to spell a word, we always had dictionaries in our house, and even when I was working with them at a Christian school, I would say, look it up, dear. And they still say that to me today. Okay, Mom, never mind. So what does sufficiency mean? Okay? It means adequate for the purpose. So if God has made us sufficient, he has made us adequate for the purpose. And this adequate, we tend to think of adequate as, okay, good enough, right? It's adequate. But what this really means is, it means totally qualified, okay? Other words for it is enough, okay? Our other definition of adequate, it's okay, it's enough. It's acceptable, it's ample, it's plentiful, it's satisfactory, it's plenty, and abundant. God has given us abundancy to do what he's asked us to do, right? Okay, sometimes you have to define a word by what it's not. So the antithesis of this is meager. It's not meager, unacceptable, unsatisfactory. God does not find you unsatisfactory. Inadequate, lacking, poor, deficient. We are not deficient in him. We are not. We may have things we need to learn, we need to practice, we need to hone our skills, but we are not deficient. So, no more excuses. So why do we constantly make excuses and avoid the things that we know God has called us to do? Why do we not want to look at it? Why do we go, oh, maybe later? And don't think I'm immune to this. I love to write. When I said writing, Wynn pointed at me. It's a long story of why I quit writing years ago. But now it's just fear that holds me back. It's one of those things where I get stuck in my own head and I'm like, I haven't even started writing and I'm already thinking, is my grammar good enough? What about my punctuation? And what if people aren't going to like it? And what if I haven't even written a word yet? I'm already like psyching myself out about all the negative stuff, right? Nancy was kind of talking about focus on the positive, right? It's like Jesse gave a talk in Anchorage and it just really touched me. And I've thought about it a lot since then, Jesse. And he talked about fear in his life and how it was a big thing in his life and how he just finally realized that the only way to overcome fear was to do it, to take a step out, to face that and step. And you only have the first step. You just have to take the first step. It's kind of like if you've ever dove off of a high dive, you can stand there and psych yourself out forever, climb back down, you know, which I've done. Or you can just get up there and go, whoosh, right? And when you do that, it's like, I did it. Awesome. That first step. Okay. Now look at your paper again and what you're doing. And let me tell you a little bit of story. When I was in Anchorage for the conference, I had lunch with Kate, my daughter's best friend, sorry. And we had a wonderful talk. And I just love her. She's like one of my kids. And I was telling her about my presentation that I was going to be giving later in the week. And she told me about her avoidance excuse list. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, every day I get up and I try to make a list of the things that I want to do that day or even in my life. And then I look at the list and I make a list underneath of or to the side of some of those things. My avoidance excuse list of why these aren't getting done or why I want to avoid this thing today. Why do I not want to do this? And she said, I have to ask myself when I'm making my avoidance excuse list, what kinds of things am I avoiding in my life or making excuses for that are holding me back? Okay? You not walking in the things God has called you to do are holding you back. Okay. Later in the conversation, I was telling her about joyful moments, which God gave me this thing. He kind of downloaded it to me one day. I was having a hard time being positive. And he said, Laura, every day you see things that are wonderful. You see a sunset and you go, oh, that's nice. Look at that sunset. And you move on. You hear a child laugh. Okay, everybody, when you hear a child laugh, it makes you smile, right? A child's laugh means there's hope for the world, and they believe that life is wonderful, right? And it's contagious. And you go, oh, that's great, and you move on. Or you might be walking, and you smell a scent, whether it's food or flowers, that brings back a great memory. Our sense of smell, our olfactory senses are one of the strongest memory invokers. You smell something, it'll take you back instantly to a time or a place, right? And Wynn's going, yeah. So when those things happen, you move on. And God said, I want you to pause and I want you to savor that. And I'm like, God, you know, I know this whole mindfulness thing's going around, but who's got time? I got a busy schedule here. And he's like, Laura, listen to me. 10 to 15 seconds is all I'm asking. And that's longer than you think it is. It really is. And I want you to, and if you're driving and you're seeing a sunset or you see something cool, you know, don't like totally gaze at the sunset and drive off the road. No. But you can keep glancing at it and savor it. Enjoy it. Soak it in. Hold it close to you. Take it inside you, if you will. And it's amazing the healing to your soul and the peace that you gain through savoring those wonderful moments. A child's laugh. You don't have to stop and stare at the child. Their parents might get a little worried. But you can keep walking and just think about, why do I love children's laughter? And what memories do I have of my children? Or what memories do I have of when I was a child and laughing? And savor that. Take it in. Just let it heal you. Let it refocus your day and help you to be positive, right? So Kate says to me, you need to write about it, that, and share it. And I'm like, yeah, I got a whole list of things that I kind of want to blog about someday, and, you know, that it'd be really good. And she asked me, why don't you do that now? Kate is a very proactive woman. I love that about her. Laura, why aren't you doing this now? And I told her that, you know, it's in my list. It's in the future. I'm going to do it someday. When I'm not so fatigued, when I don't have brain fog, when I have more energy, when I can focus better, win. And then it hit me. That was my avoidance excuse list. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So I want you to write down, under the things that you wrote down, your calling or your whatever, I want you to write down under it, avoidance excuse list in big letters. And I want you to write down three things that are keeping you from moving into that, engaging in that, moving through that, going further with that, okay? While you're writing that down, another thing Kate said to me when I gave her my excuses, she said, yeah, I understand. And then she stopped and she said, wait a minute. Because I know you and I know your health concerns, she said, I agreed with your excuses. They were valid. She said, but then I have to ask myself, is that helpful and supportive to you in where you're at? Or is it enabling and validating your excuses? And I went, oh, good point, Kate. Yeah. And you know what I realized in April when I was up there? And I originally wrote this, is that I can write. I can focus. I can get it done. It takes me a little longer. I don't have brain fog every single day. And I did it. I got it done. So that was encouraging, right? And I kept having that run through my head, what Kate was saying. And it's like, you know, okay. So looking at your avoidance excuse list, maybe you're thinking, if God is calling me to this, why is it so darn hard? Or maybe you're thinking my excuses are real. Or I just don't see how this can happen. I get that. I do. Sometimes it's scary. Some people in their calling have their thing given to them. Poof! You know, I knew a woman who said, I have never had any musical training. I don't know how to play a piano, but when the Spirit moves on me, I can sit down and play the piano flawlessly. She said, if I try to sit down any other time, it's like I can't even play chopsticks. And it was like, whoa, that was incredible, right? But most of us grow into it. Most of us need to practice. Most of us need to take that first step to get there, right? Even Nancy has done that, right? Her story, if you know her whole story, it's been a process. And where he's taking her, it's still a process. And she would tell you that there's still things that the Lord's challenging her on and poking her about doing and being better at, right? So it's like a seed. God's given you this seed of the calling or what he wants you to do. And you can plant that seed and leave it alone. And if you're lucky, it might grow. But it's probably going to end up being a little spindly bush. But if you cultivate it, if you water it, if you fertilize it, if you prune it, you know, then you're going to get fruit from that tree. You're going to get maybe watermelons, maybe cucumbers, maybe flowers, maybe just a beautiful green bush, right? But you will get fruit from that if you cultivate it, if you tend to it. So it's like a seed. You need to do something about it. So you're being good stewards of your calling. We tend to think of being a good steward of money, but are you being a good steward with your calling, with your ministry, with the thing God wants you to do? Okay, so for me, with writing, I've actually been to a writing class in Redding, California, and taken classes. It was incredible at Bethel Church. And every single speaker at that conference said the same thing over and over and over again. Just write. Write a sentence. Write three sentences, and you have a paragraph. Write a couple paragraphs, and you have a page. Pretty soon you have pages you can put together in a chapter. But you got to start with the first sentence. And you know what? If you don't write, you're never going to have a book. You're never going to have a poem. You're never going to have anything. You have to write that first sentence. You have to take that first step. So I've sought advice from people about my writing, and that's hard. It's like presenting your beautiful newborn child to your friends and family. And there's a little bit of fear. Are they going to love it like I do? Are they going to think this baby's beautiful? And of course, everybody, if they're smart, says, yes, your baby's beautiful, right? You know, will they love it too? You got to be vulnerable, right? But has anyone ever said to me in the times that I've submitted that, maybe you should take up stamp collecting? Or, well, that was interesting. Never. I've gotten advice about it. And advice is one of those things that you need to know. I had somebody say one time, if you get a word from the Lord or you get advice, you chew the meat off and you spit out the bones, you know, and you ask the Lord, okay, is this valid? Is this, you know, particularly with prophecy, but even with writing? And, but nobody's ever told me my baby was ugly. They might have given me some help, you know, but yeah. So if you've got something, and let's say you love music and you want to start using it for the Lord, you're not quite sure how to do that, go to someone who is gifted in it, who's mature in it, who has that gifting, and ask them if they will mentor you. I know that Evelyn would be glad to do that. I know Kenda and Ivy would be glad to help people with music and singing. You know, it's like, yeah, let me work with you on this. I would be glad to do that. If you feel like your gift is prophecy, which is kind of a scary one, and you're not real sure where to go with that, find somebody that you know and trust whose gift is prophecy. Les has the gift of prophecy. And I know if someone came to him who said, I feel like this is my gifting. First of all, will you pray with me and see if you agree? And then, will you mentor me? Can I come alongside you, and will you help me? And I know Les would say, absolutely. So find someone, and okay, if it's being a mechanic working with your hands, find a mechanic you can work with. A Christian mechanic would be even better, right? Find those people that would be willing to come alongside you. Seek wise counsel. Go to people and say, I've been thinking that this is what the Lord's called me to. Do you think this is right? Do you think this is, you know? And you don't want to ask your best friend, because usually your best friend's like, oh yeah, honey, I think you're good at it, you know. But you want to seek those mature, balanced, tried leaders, tried people who have been tested in this to ask advice from. If they think that this is your calling, if this is where you need to go. Okay, so why am I not writing like I know I should, even though I've taken classes and submitted things to people and prayed about it, and people have confirmed it? Fear. Laziness. Fear. Excuses. Fear. Are you noticing a trend here? And let's face it, a lot of us, when we look at those things that we wrote down, our heart can kind of skip a beat and go, but God. And God goes, yeah. But God, yeah. But yeah. You know, if we trust him and we lean on him, right? So if you go back to our verse again, you know, he has made you sufficient. He has given you the authority. He has given it to you abundantly to do this. Like I said, we need to take steps. You got to take that first step, okay? In 2 Corinthians 8-9, hey, I'm doing pretty good. King James Version, New King James says, "And God is able to make all grace abound in you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance to do every good work." And that word sufficiency is the same, the authority. All authority in all things. Okay? So, how do you move forward from here? What do? Now, under your avoidance excuse list, I want you to write, believe, pray, seek wise counsel, research, because maybe you need some education to do what it is, okay? Well, have you looked into what that takes? Oh, but it's too much, I can't get a degree, I'm too... Well, can you take one class to head that direction? Writing, can you take a creative writing class? Art, painting, can you take a painting class? And then, write down, take the first step. Okay, what those were again? Believe, pray, seek wise counsel, research, and take the first step. First step can be hard, but like Jesse said in his thing in Anchorage, the first step's the hardest, but then it gets easier after that. Okay? Even baby steps are good. If you're afraid of speaking in front of others, join Toastmasters. I've got some Toastmasters here. Woot, woot, woot. There's the Toastmasters. Talk to Carmel or Bonnie over there if you want to know more about Toastmasters, okay? It's an awesome organization, and there's a lot of Christians in that group, okay? Preach to your dog. Seriously, one of the things that you have to do to get over being afraid to talk is to hear your own voice going out to space. Preach to your dog or your cat. Seriously. You know, Ann and I were talking about pacing around the house and preaching it in your living room. And, you know, it's like you need to get, because that will help that fear. Honestly, trust me. Okay? You know, you're driving down the road. Start pontificating, preaching in your car. Yeah. I don't know how many times driving between Seattle and Portland, you know, and I've been by myself. Oh, man, preach it, sister. Start by writing a sentence. Ask to pray for somebody. If you feel like just that's something God wants you to do more is pray for people, well, ask somebody if you can pray for them and ask God for wisdom. It's amazing. And I keep doing this kind of a thing because we are a conduit. God loads into us, we give it out. And that's what the sufficiency and calling is all about. He loads into us, we give out. Okay? How about if you ask for help? Ask a seasoned person and then just take a step. Okay? We're sufficient. And as for me, all right, I'll go home and write a sentence. Okay? So, thank you.